May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. This morning, we're going to look at the importance of passing on what the Lord teaches in the new church to a new generation. The obligation to share what means so much to us with potential new churchmen of the future is communicated clearly and repeatedly in the sacred scripture. We read in Psalm 78, "And Yahuwah raised up a testimony in Jacob and set a law in Israel, which commanded our fathers to make them known to their sons, in order that they might know a later generation, the sons who should be born, that they might rise and recount to their sons and set their credence in God and not forget the acts of God, but might observe his commandments." Psalm 145 has a similar message stating, "And I will praise the name of Yahuwah to eternity and forever. Generation to generation shall extol thy deeds, and of thy mighty acts they shall tell." In Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Lord simply and powerfully reminds us to pass on what we have been given, saying, "Make it known to thy sons and to the sons of thy sons, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the ground, and that they may teach their sons." And finally, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord gives us this well-known command, "Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah is our God, Yahuwah is one, and thou shalt love Yahuwah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy forces. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy sons." In the heavenly doctrine of the new church, we learn that teaching the next generation about the Lord, about his testimonies and laws, about his mighty acts, as it says in the Psalms, is actually a duty of charity. And we can see that this duty applies most directly to parents. And it is a responsibility that brings with it the blessing of a closer and closer union between a husband and a wife, working together to best educate their children in light of the Lord's word. But this responsibility is not limited just to parents. The passages we read from the sacred scripture do not limit this duty just from one generation to the next. The passages indicate a responsibility beyond just one's children, but to one's grandchildren too. "Make these things known to thy sons and to the sons of thy sons," it says. But the Lord does not stop there either. In Matthew, Jesus had an extended dialogue with his disciples about children. He explained the responsibility that all adults have, a responsibility to support the passing on of the blessings of the church to the little ones in our midst. Jesus said, "Whoever shall cause one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is expedient for him that an ass's millstone should be hung about his neck, and he should be sunk in the deep of the sea." He continued saying, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." Then Jesus concluded, "Thus it is not the will of your Father who is in the heavens that one of these little ones should perish." As individual families, as extended families, and as a new church society, we all have the responsibility to bring the church to our little ones the best we can in whatever circumstances we are in. And this can take many forms. The daily work of parenthood may be the most obvious one. It can include taking time for family worship, which can be as simple as just reading the word together as a family. Or it can include saying the prayer at bedtime and blessings at meals. It can also include encouragement in little ones to keep the Lord's presence in the forefront of their minds in other ways, too. We can point out the divine order in a blooming flower, or the power of the Lord evident in the splendor of a sunset. But most of all, we can teach that we love the Lord best by obeying His commandments. As parents, we can always be looking for ways to confirm with our children that what the Lord says is true, and that what He teaches is for our happiness because He loves us so much. But in addition to the daily work of parenting, education in its many forms can be another opportunity to bring the church to the next generation, to a new generation of the new church. Whether a child's education is primarily conducted by the parents or facilitated by teachers, every subject can be learned in a way that comes from the Word and is confirmed in the world around us. Reading and writing can include a focus on the most important words ever written, the ones offered by the Lord Himself in the sacred scripture. Math and science can be viewed in a way that confirms the science of correspondences and recognizes the order in creation resulting from the influx of the Lord's divine love and wisdom into every single thing in the natural world. Literature can help students learn how to make choices for themselves by evaluating the decisions and actions of characters in every book they read. Social studies can help students recognize the infinite variety of heaven by learning about the beautiful variety of the human race here on earth. And history can help confirm the continual presence of the Lord in His divine providence. And this is just a glimpse at how education in light of new church doctrine can help teach a new generation about the wonderful divine truths of the new church. But beyond what parents and teachers can do to teach a new generation about the truths of the church, the influence of every single adult in a new church society can make a tremendous difference. And this part of bringing the church to our children should not be overlooked. Friendly faces at church can help build affection in the next generation. Just getting accustomed to seeing adults commit to being at church on Sundays can have a lasting effect on a potential member of the next generation of the church. Even more, adults taking an interest in the future of each child in the church gives a young person growing up in a church society a sense of being part of a religious community. Looking for opportunities to affirmatively discuss the teachings of the new church with the next generation strengthens, supports, and confirms the vital importance of what the Lord teaches in the new church. For a younger or a newer person in the church, a religious community full of people who love him and want to help him and encourage him in learning and living the things of the church can have a very powerful effect. If a person chooses the church for himself, he will already be familiar with and have affection for this wonderful obligation to pass the church on to the next generation, having already experienced it firsthand. Perhaps each of us can see how much we have benefited from parents or grandparents or other members of the church who have taken us under their wing and helped us to see the mighty acts of the Lord, as it says in the Psalms. This commitment to teaching a new generation can continue to the end of our lives as we look for ways to support each other in a life of charity from the testimonies and laws of the Lord. Every generation has its struggles and will benefit from a continued effort by previous generations to help. The best help may well come from the most senior generations in the church. The heavenly doctrine describes that there is a state of innocence in wisdom, which generally begins in the 60th year. but in addition to the clear guidance of the Lord in the sacred scripture and in the heavenly doctrine of the new church to teach a new generation. The Lord also explains the effects of passing the church on to the next generation. The next generation can do even better than the generation that preceded them. This opportunity is made painfully obvious there in Psalm 78. It says, "The next generation will not be as their fathers, a defiant and rebellious generation, a generation who prepared not its heart and whose spirit was not faithful with God." Now, while we should not take this statement too far in condemning ourselves as part of any particular generation, we can certainly see that every generation in the church has its strengths and weaknesses, and that every subsequent generation has an opportunity to improve on those weaknesses and build on those strengths. In fact, this opportunity for continual improvement with future generations of the new church is a new development in church history. Churches have declined over time, not improved. We read in the heavenly doctrine that every church, in process of time, decreases by receding from good of love and the truths of faith until there is nothing of them left. And this takes place by the successive increase of evil and falsity. And when there is no longer any good of love and faith, then there is nothing but evil and falsity, and when this is the case, there is an end of the church. But the future of the new church is different. We read in the heavenly doctrine that the four churches of this earth have undergone these changes of state, but the church, truly Christian, which succeeds those four at the present day, will never undergo consummation. Despite the collapse of previous churches, the Lord teaches us in the heavenly doctrine that we are now in the midst of an era of perpetual improvement. It says the successive states of the church after the end of the Jewish church, or from the time of the Lord even to the present day, have been like a man increasing in intelligence and wisdom, or becoming regenerate. As the Lord has revealed increasingly interior truths of the Word, first directly from His own mouth while on earth, and then through the heavenly doctrine of His second coming, He has given the world what it needs to get better and better spiritually. It says again in Apocalypse Explained, "For this end the interior things of the Word of the church and of worship were revealed by the Lord when He was in the world. And now again, things still more interior are revealed. And in the measure that things interior are revealed, can man become wiser. For to become interior is to become wiser, and to become wiser is to become interior." Now, this doesn't mean that we'll see things getting better before our very eyes on a moment-to-moment, day-by-day, or even year-to-year basis. On any given day, it may look just the opposite. Just as there have been horrific chapters in history, and will be again in the future, in the midst of this upward trend described in the heavenly doctrine. And as more evils come out into the open, things will be worse in some ways before they are better. But we can have hope. We can have hope that if we fulfill our duty to do the best we can on what we have been given, to pass it on to the next generation, then the Lord in His providence will secretly work to guide the church toward an even better future. Psalm 78 ends with words just to this effect. It ends with the comforting picture of the divine shepherd guiding his flock with the very palms of his hands. "And he pastured them according to the integrity of his heart, and led them by the understanding of the palms of his hands." Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.